let's move backwards now. We'll get to number eight. And do we need to have a staff presentation on this? Jessica, can we just have Mr. Schimmick address this?
You can have a staff presentation on it if you
want. Right, if you want. Do we want staff to?
We're not planning to make a presentation to you on it. We would welcome Mr. Schimmick's comments.
Okay, why don't we do it that way? Mr. Schimmick, why don't you address this, and then staff can respond to your comments. And how do I control the clock, or is that done somewhere else? Good. Okay.
Good morning. My name is Steve Schimmick with the Auto Project in Monterey, Coastkeeper. First, let me say, in full disclosure, I have nothing against wine. I drink a tremendous amount of it, so I'm fully supportive of the wine industry. But what we have here is a permit that is staff's suggestion to basically move, as I read the staff report, move what was a WDR into the general winery permit. And so I asked staff, fairly recently, after the written public comment period had ended, so again, full disclosure, but I'm doing a lot of stuff just in time these days, and just in time is right now at this meeting. So I asked staff for a couple of things. I asked, first of all, the two most recent water quality monitoring reports from the winery, and two, the record of compliance. And frankly, when something like this is at the suggestion of staff, I would hope that the staff report would include a report of compliance. I think that should be regularly part of that staff report. In reviewing, two things popped up. First of all, in the monitoring reports, they clearly state that there was no exceedances, there were no violations to the report. It just clearly says that, and this is coming from the winery. Then when you actually look at it, and this is what staff flagged for me, there were exceedances in flow, there were exceedances in pH, there were exceedances in oxygen demand, there were exceedances in total dissolved oxygen, there were exceedances in sodium. And as an example of the oxygen demand, the limit in the WDR is 50 milligrams per liter, and the lowest that they ever report is 152. The highest that they report is 2,865. Now, what it also says is what staff also mentioned to me is that they appear to be monitoring their pond influent instead of the effluent. They're assuming that it's mixed with other water. The violations are technical violations, but the impacts are probably not great. And 50 milligrams per liter is probably unnecessarily protective. But that's the limit. And I have copies of this, if you'd like to see it, of what the staff told me. So in my seconds left, I mean, my question is anybody looking at these monitoring reports? And two, if they have been monitoring the pond influent for all these years, why hasn't somebody told them that they need to be monitoring the effluent? So I'm not suggesting that you not move these people into the general permit. What I am suggesting is that you flag this discharger for enhanced review. That's what I'm asking. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mr. Sherman. Staff?
Hi, this is Harvey Packard, and I'm aware of the information that Mr. Schimmick has just brought forward. It's new to me, but I see his point, and I'd like to have a look at it myself. I have no problem flagging that discharger for review and seeing what's going on there and following up. And like Mr. Schimmick, I would suggest we move ahead. I would suggest that the board move ahead with the rescission and enrollment. They still be regulated, and they still have to comply with the general order, and we will take a look at what's going on at that facility.
Okay, any board questions on this? Mr. Johnston, then Mr. Delgado.
I have a question and a comment. In general, I do agree with what Mr. Schimmick says in terms of, I think it should be a matter of practice when we're dealing with individual waste discharge permits, to have, as part of the staff report, a history of violations. And that's why I requested that for the items 9 and 10. It just gives us some context, I think, as a board. And I guess my second question is, why were these folks in the first place enrolled in their own their own permit rather than a general permit? I'm a little, maybe it's just that I don't understand a piece of the process here.
In regards to that question, the individual permit probably predates the general order that was adopted subsequently.
Mr. Delgado?
Yeah, just a general question. The points that Steve Schimmick brought up that our staff wasn't aware of, is it just a result of a lot of dischargers being under our umbrella there, and we don't have the staff time to be as vigilant on each one as would be a perfect world?
I'd say that's a good way to put it, yeah.
Question, is there any significance in moving some entity from a WDO into a general order? I mean, their requirements in terms of compliance with receiving water standards, effluent limits, I assume they're going to be the same. What is the benefit that staff sees in going from the WDR into the general permit?
The requirements of a general order are going to be generally similar to those of the individual order. I can't say they're going to be exactly the same. The benefit is that staff does not have to review individual orders on a recurring basis as is now required. So these individual orders all come up for review on a schedule, and staff has to review them and determine if they're still appropriate. In this case, staff determined that it would be more appropriate to make this regulation of this one consistent with our regulation of most others by rescinding the order and rolling them in the general order.
So, Mr. Packer, it would seem to me that that would be an opportune time to look at compliance. I mean, if staff's going to take this one off the shelf amongst hundreds and start to look at it, that maybe the whole history should be looked at. And
no, absolutely, I agree. In fact, that is on the checklist, and I don't know what happened with this particular one.
Okay.
It should have been reviewed.
Okay. Could we just get some feedback in the next board meeting, or when staff can take a look at this compliance history and just let us know what you have found? And I'd like to then have some response to the specifics that Mr. Schimmick has identified.
Yes, will you put that information in the next executive officer's report?
That would be fine.
And I have a question for...
And then, Michael, you know, as part of that, then my question would be, if they're having problems with compliance, do you have some mechanism that this is being looked at by the other part of our staff, which deals with enforcement?
We do.
And what we would do along the lines of similar to what Mr. Delgado was saying is that we have to consider all of the cases and their relative priority and act on, with our very limited number of people that we have doing that work, they have to act on the highest priority violations. We'd like to act on all of them, but we only have the capacity to act on a limited number. So we would prioritize the actions that we take.
Okay.
I have a question, Mr. Chair.
Go ahead, Dr. Roth.
How many wineries do we have over the 10,000 case threshold, which would trigger, you know, the NPDES permit?
that there are hundreds. I don't have a good number off the top of my head. Let me remind you, it's not an MPS permit. There's no discharge to surface waters allowed. They're all discharges to land or that might affect groundwater. The current general order includes some waiver provisions which expire every 5 years, and they expire in this year coming up, so we will bring this to the board for a full discussion in the coming year.
Okay. Dr. Hunter, and then Mr. Delgado, and then Mr. Johnston.
Excuse me. So just so I'm clear, it's also possible that our present enforcement report, which is pretty comprehensive, again, it's something that has been ramped up since this individual order was issued, I'm guessing. But with that in mind, and with the idea recognizing that prioritization is critical for how we address our primary problems, but is there a process by which the enforcement report at the time of renewal under the general order also is a tool for us to look at to see if there's something that needs to be addressed during the renewal hearing item, so that this discharger is aware that there are going to be some questions and that we want to hear how they're dealing with their problem areas, whatever types of violations are occurring, and that we use that opportunity to engage in the permittee, in a discussion with the permittee on these specific issues, so that it isn't necessarily a matter that has to reach that trigger point of enforcement, but that we have that opportunity to point out that these are issues that have to be addressed and that it could trigger and move them higher up on the list, obviously.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. We should be doing that. And that's part of our job. And Harley and I will follow up on this to find out what happened and whether we did a thorough enough job or not on that. But yes, we should be doing that.
Okay, Mr. Delgado.
Yeah, I understand that the conditions on the ground at the Monterey Wine Company are not a high enough priority for staff to focus, I mean, to date, and that in the future we'll have an executive report on the specifics of the Monterey Wine Company. But today we're being asked to approve a requested change, and so I would just feel more comfortable if there was a representative of the Monterey Wine Company just to come up and let us know their dedication to addressing these issues, because staff may not have any more time in the future than in the past, you know, looking ahead to the decades coming up or whatever, to give more focus to the Monterey Wine Company. So I'd just like to hear from them before making our decision today.
Mr. Johnston?
I mean, it may well be that in terms of the Monterey Wine Company, there really isn't even a problem other than that they've been testing the water going into their system rather than coming out of their system. I'm not concerned with moving them to the general permit, because I don't think that really changes much. Frankly, my concern is, you know, when we discussed the Ag River, one of the questions raised, one of the critiques raised of the waiver was we were going to be generating this huge amount of data from thousands of farms, and we weren't really going to be able to manage that data and to make use of it, that we were going to be burdening them with generating data and we weren't really going to be able to effectively manage it. And staff response was that basically all that data was going to go into a database, and we're going to be relatively easily able to pick out outliers, to pick out the ones we should be focusing on from the data. And okay, that makes some sense. So it strikes me, if the numbers are as far off from what they're supposed to be, and as I said, there may well be a totally logical explanation, but are we applying the same methodology to what to what we're getting, that's what I'd like to hear, to what we're getting from the wineries. If so, this should have obviously been a big red flag. And if we're not, you know, are we moving in that direction? Certainly we can't have staff review, you know, every single report, every single month from every single one of hundreds of wineries. That's not real. But I would assume that if we're getting regular, that this data was, we already had in our system, the staff was able to generate it for Mr. Schimmick, and that we would be applying some sort of statistical analysis to it to spot outliers and to prioritize our enforcement efforts. And that's frankly what I'd like to hear back on.
We can do it.
Any comments? Any other comments on this?
I'd just like to make a motion. So it's clear to me that no matter which order it's in, it's going to get the attention that everybody's asking
right,
for.
Yeah,
so
that's not going
to
change.
Thank you. So I'd just like to move we adopt the staff's recommendation of rescinding the individual order and moving to the general order with the direction that you've heard today to report back at the next meeting or a subsequent meeting with the concerns you've heard and with the future direction that for these type of actions or the ones on 9 and 10, those are a revision and a reissuance, that there is always a notice of compliance with the staff report.
Before we vote,
I have a legal question. Did you have a comment, Dr. Hunter, on that?
What I would like to add as part of that request is that I'd like someone from a winery to be invited to come back to the board meeting when this is going to be, what you're suggesting is in the EO report, because I do think we have some questions that need to be answered. Jessica?
I would say if you're planning on inviting a member of the winery to come speak, it would probably be better to postpone this and have them speak on this item.
Okay.
Than speaking in the executive officer's report.
So I'll pull that motion.
Okay.
I have another idea. It doesn't have to be the executive officer's report. It could
turn on your mic.
I think it's on.
With the light on, it's on.
Okay. Maybe. So in a future agenda, couldn't we have a status update on this outside of the executive officer's report where we could approve it today but let an invited guest speak to an item and let us have some comment and, you know, session on the item?
That would be the same thing. If it were in the executive officer's report or a separate item on the agenda, the problem that Ms. Yar brought up is still there. You'd have a representative coming and speaking to the board after the fact, after the board has acted.
So why don't we just vote to deny the recommendation at this time, and then we'll just have staff bring it back with the representative from the winery.
Rather than voting to deny, okay, I would say just postpone it for a future.
Do we need a motion to postpone?
I don't think so.
I make a motion to postpone.
Okay.
I don't believe you need one, but you can have one.
Okay. Go ahead. We've got a motion to postpone.
Second.
Do we need a second, Jessica?
No.
Okay. All those in favor to postpone this item?
Aye.
Item number 8. Okay. Any opposed?
No.
No.
Okay.
So before we move on, I want to talk just a moment with the board about general orders. This board is, and the staff, are moving in the same direction that Sacramento and all the other water boards are moving because of a lack of resources. The direction from Sacramento right now is move as many dischargers as we can under general orders. It's just a fact of life. We do not have the staff we used to have. We want to be able to focus on the highest threats to water quality. Yes, these do pose some level of threat, but we just cannot deal with renewing all of these under individual permits. So this board is going to continue, you know, that's our direction from Sacramento, unless there's some change from you folks, is to move more and more of our dischargers into general orders. And you will see more, as Mr. Moore spoke, the regional boards in concert with the state board are generating new general orders for new classes of dischargers.
Mr. Harris, I don't think our issue is with that. You know, the issue is when are you going to do that?
take a good look at the file and compliance history.
No, I understand that. I just wanted to make sure that you were aware that that's the direction that the water boards statewide are moving.
Okay. Dr. Hunter?
Mr. Harris, would you also agree that our capacity to be more efficient in identifying violators that meet certain, say, percentage of violations, that the database structure that is growing and being created, that this is an effective tool for assisting staff with identifying these outliers?
The database systems we have are constantly changing, and compliance is something that the water boards have struggled with for a long time. I don't think I can answer your question specifically, but I think our goal is always to help staff work through the data to identify problem areas. I don't know if we're there yet. I think there's still room for improvement, but a lot of that comes from Sacramento in terms of modifications to data systems. And to be quite honest, we are very short in Sacramento on funding. It's we've been going through MCC a process of trying to prioritize our contract dollars. One of the things that was agreed to at the last meeting was, if we're going to make modifications to our data systems, then other contract needs are going to have to suffer. But Tom Howard is looking for efficiencies and thinks that putting more funding towards data systems should be a high priority for the water boards.
Mr. Chair, quickly on that note, without getting too much into the detail of the subject, you know, similar to the GeoTrack that we're using for the Ag Order, and it seems to be a very powerful software, in fact underestimated by some of us of what it can do, and it could be an avenue to embed these hundreds of wineries information and make your life a little bit easier.
Yes.
Yeah, that is definitely true. And with regard to Mr. Johnson's earlier comment, these sites are not in GeoTracker. We don't look at them the same way we look at the AgWave enrollees. So what happens with these is they send us, in this case, semi-annual reports, and there's a cover sheet, and they're supposed to mark on it whether there were any violations of their order. If they're unaware of violations, they would not have marked them, and staff may have not have looked at them closely enough to notice the violation either. So there's not a big database of water quality data that these things are being put into. We have them either in paper or electronically, and that's it. Another interesting thing about a case like this, and something we'll be looking at when we review this winery order, is whether this facilities like this should be regulated by the ag order, the winery order, both, or which, because the wastewater from the facility is used to irrigate a winery. So they are enrolled in the winery, in the ag order, and also the winery order. And we're going to be looking at whether that's appropriate. Maybe this wastewater is sufficiently regulated by their enrollment in the ag order. Hmm. And they wouldn't need any additional regulation from us at all. So that's something we'll be looking at.
In terms of other agencies, such as the ag commissioners in most counties, the permit for wineries is considered to be a agriculture-related activity, mm-hmm. because it's processing agriculture. So if you look for consistency with other approach of permits, minor use permits for winery processing facility, it's associated with agriculture.
Mr. Robertson, you have a comment?
Yeah. John Robertson, Regional Board staff. Mr. Johnson, you raised the issue with the ag program, and then Dr. Wolf has actually had a test drive through GeoTracker, which data from the ag program resides in. This is a name for a database. The WDR program, which wineries exist in, is being piloted in GeoTracker. Data input is being piloted in GeoTracker in the Los Angeles region right now. So at some point, I think the plan is it too will reside, that program too will reside in GeoTracker, which makes calling the data for prioritization purposes much, much easier. It's just the way the data structure is with GeoTracker. So there's a future, a positive future here.
Okay, thank you. I'd like to move on to the next agenda item.